Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
We're going to continue our series on the walk, which is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And this morning we're going to look at Matthew 7, 13 through 14, right after following up last week, the golden rule in Matthew 7, 12. Before we do, though, I want to pray. This is a very specific message this morning to where each of us stand in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And there may be people here this morning who you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're here for some other reason. You've heard about Jesus. You may know about Jesus, but you may not know Jesus. And so I want to pray for us this morning as we proceed through these short two verses that are very rich and have much depth in where each of us have to come to in our lives. So let's pray together. Dear God, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and to share this passage of Scripture, these words of Jesus that are so powerful, so true, and so very pointed to where each of us have to come to in our lives. And I just pray for those of us who know Jesus this morning, that we will hear these words and use them as a challenge to continue to pursue Jesus in a very strong and mighty way, and to help lead others to Jesus as we pursue him. And for those who may be here this morning in this room that don't know Jesus, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them this morning, that they'll sense the leading toward following Jesus Christ. And maybe there are people here today that are right at that crossroads we're going to talk about. God, I pray for them too, that they will see what Jesus said about following him. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, Robert Frost wrote this poem. Most of you had to study it in one of your high school English classes. And if you're not there yet, you will have to study this in a high school English class. It's called The Road Not Taken. It says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden back black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. You know, when Frost wrote that poem, for everything I could study about that poem, and I used to be a high school English teacher, so I've actually taught that poem, and everything I knew about it, Frost didn't write that from the point of view of Matthew 7. He wrote it from the point of view of life just bringing us to those points where we have to make decisions about stuff. We're either going to take the road traveled or the road less traveled. But for what Frost knew, even in not being a follower of Jesus, he knew that the one less traveled by made all the difference. And then we look at our passage today and what Jesus says. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. And then verse 14 says, because Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So Jesus, it's obvious he sets these two different paths as being opposites, as being different, as looking different, as having different participation. And so we think, okay, why would Jesus use the illustration of a road and a gate to describe what it looks like to choose to follow him? Well, this is a picture of the Damascus Gate, which is one of the gates in the old city of Jerusalem. And as you see on there, there are actually two different gates. It's interesting. There's a wide gate that comes into the city. And then you see down in the lower area, there's a much smaller gate that looks much like a doorway, like maybe a gate we would have going into our backyard. One person at a time coming through. And the person who did this rendering, who took this picture, even suggested that you can see in the bottom left-hand corner there that Jesus went through that smaller gate with his cross. I don't have any substantiation of that. But when you look at it next to this passage that Jesus said, Jesus walked the narrow, more difficult way. So it wouldn't surprise me if Jesus might have come through that gate. But the reality is, there are two gates. A more modern picture, this picture reminds me of Bourbon Street in New Orleans. I had to go there once for business. It reminds me of that. But it's very colorful. It's very enticing. You can walk right down the street often. Lots of people, shoulder to shoulder, moving down that street. But yet you see in this rendering, this picture, over to the left, the smaller door with the light coming out of it. And you see one person going in. And if you look closely, maybe there's a couple more moving toward that gate. But the bulk of the crowd is being enticed by what the world has to offer. And if you can look closely at those signs, that's what they have very subtly in those well-lit up signs, is things the world has to offer. And so that brings each one of us, at some point in our life, we're brought to this point, as this young lady is, to we're at the fork in the road. We see one narrow path on the left. We see a wide path there on the right. You know, each one of us are brought to that point at different times in our life. We saw Tucker and Claire this morning, who made the decision as young children to follow after Jesus, to take this narrow road. Some of you have done that at a very early time in your life. Some of you did it much later with much more life experience to make that choice. But we're all brought to that point right there. And then you could take the great philosopher Yogi Berra's take on it all, which he wrote this book. He says, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. And if you know anything about Yogi Berra, he says a lot of strange things like that. But see, a lot of people do that. They come to that fork in the road, and I don't know, I'll just take one. But as I read Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it's very specific on Jesus says, take the narrow road. He doesn't leave it open to say, either one's okay. Just take the narrow road. And so now, let's go back and look at the verses again. It says, enter by the narrow gate. That's his instruction. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads where? To destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. In life eternally. And there are few who find it. So it's not difficult to understand what Jesus is saying. You know, I don't have to do a lot of explanation this morning and trying to define what Jesus is talking about. there are only two spiritual options in life, and each end with drastically different results. Period. There's not a lot of options. Our world will tell us that there are a lot of options. Now, you go down the wide road, as we're going to look at, and there are many more choices. But basically, it comes down to where that young lady was standing. The narrow road, the wide road. One leads to destruction, one leads to life. Joshua in the Old Testament said, "Choose for yourselves whom you will serve." Joshua knew that. As a prophet of old, he knew you had to choose for yourself. I'm going to follow after my God, or I'm going to take another route. Psalms 1-6, David writes, "For the Lord knows the way of righteous and the way of the wicked." Again, you see that separation. David knew that. Two different ways. And then Jeremiah, another prophet, said, "Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." Again, two things. So Jesus isn't the first one who clearly says this. He just says it very simply in the Sermon on the Mount to those who were following him as he preached this 30-minute sermon that we take weeks to go over and study. So what is the road to destruction? When you look at that word in the original language, the word destruction, we can also see it some other places in Scripture. And we get an idea of what that means as we read verse 13. Revelation 17:8 tells us it's the ultimate destination of the Antichrist. It's where he's going to end up. You see that word destruction. Revelation 19:20, you see it's the ultimate destination of the beast and his false prophet. In Revelation 20:10-15, it's the ultimate destination of Satan and those who reject Christ. And then in Matthew, later on, he writes, it's the ultimate destination of those separated from Christ. Do you see what that word means? That the wide road, the broad road, the one that many travel down, leads us to that point of destruction. That's what Jesus said. That's where it takes us. It takes us separated from Christ eternally, just like all those other verses in Revelation show us. So Jesus is talking about the eternal destiny of the wicked when he speaks about the road to destruction. And we think about that word wicked as being somebody that does bad things. But in the context of Scripture, wicked is just those who have chosen not to follow Christ. So let's look at those three words, those three descriptors of the wide gate. John Stott has observed, "The gate leading to the easy way is wide, for it is a simple matter to get on the easy road." It's easy to get in that one. Remember that picture of the gate, the Damascus gate in Jerusalem? It's easy to get in there. Lots of people can go at one time. The narrow gate, the one right next to it, you almost have to get in single file line to get through. Much smaller. There's evidently no limit to the luggage we can take with us. We need leave nothing behind, not even our sins, self-righteousness, or pride. Now you go back to that colored picture, that painting, and all these people taking their stuff with them, just enjoying life and what life has to offer. There's nothing we have to leave behind when we go through the wide gate. And I would even suggest that we are all born into travel on the wide road and come to the fork between the narrow and the wide with the opportunity to choose our path. Because what did Paul say in Romans? "For we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we're all on that road till we come to the fork. And it can come as a 9-year-old, as an 11-year-old, when we come to that fork and we have to make a decision. Or it might come when you're 30 or 50 or 70. But we all come to that point in our own life's progress. But the wide road, the wide gate, leads to destruction. The road is broad. Not only is the gate wide, and a lot of people can access it, but once you get through the wide gate, the road even gets wider. It's broad. Many can travel for a long time. It says an easy road. It's a comfortable road. It has no restrictions. A path of least resistance. Just get on it and go. A person can believe anything he wants to believe on this road. It's the road to relativism, inclusion, tolerance, some of the words we use today. Everything's okay. You pick what you want to believe and just bring it along with you. Judges 21:25 said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. See, when there was no guidance, everybody just said, well, this is what I want to do. You know, often in our culture today, that's where we are. Everything becomes okay. We don't want to exclude anybody. But Jesus says, there's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. Perhaps this is why so many choose this road, because it allows them to do whatever they want. You know, in my own life, when I catch myself making decisions that are sinful, that hurt others, that are selfish, why do I do that? It's because I want to do whatever I want to do. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. You know, and even as a follower of Christ, as a believer, as I'm walking down the narrow road, I'm tempted, if you can picture this in your mind, I'm tempted to cross through the woods. I wonder what they're doing over on the broad road. You ever felt that way? Let's go check this out. But Jesus says, stay on the narrow path. And then it says in verse 13 that there are many travelers on this road. Kent Hughes is on track when he writes, other than platitudes about the good of the majority or the consensus of the people, the wide road imposes few boundaries on conduct. Everything goes, as we've said. It takes no effort to remain on its broad stretch. You just keep moving. No effort. It inflicts a deceptive sense of freedom and independence, but the trip itself is all it has to offer, and it is unsatisfying throughout. You know, again, back to that beautiful colored painting. Can't you just imagine those people on that broad road? They go into one establishment and, that was okay. I'm going to go check out another one. Yeah, that was okay. But I'm really not satisfied. I'm going to keep moving till I get more and more and more and never being satisfied. That's the picture that Kent Hughes is talking about there. This road is heavily traveled. In fact, most people prefer it. And so did I. The road is heavily traveled. In fact, most people prefer it. And Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. What's another word for death? Destruction. Yeah. See, and the Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So that book of wisdom is telling us there's two ways. There's one that seems right to a man, and then there's one that points us to life. But then we come to the road of life. Remember the lady at the fork, the narrow road, the wide road. In that picture, she's there. Which one do I take? See, the narrow gate, it has boundaries. It's not inclusive. Rather, it's an exclusive gate. You go in by yourself. It's not the crowd coming in. John 10:9, Jesus says, I am a door, one of the doors. No, he says, I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am one of the ways. No, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Again, pointing you back to the narrow road that he's talking about here in Matthew 7. And then in Acts 4:12, Luke wrote this. He says, and there is salvation in no one else. Not wealth, not power, not position, not friends. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men but by which he must be saved. Again, the narrow road pointing to Jesus. The gate is narrow. But Jesus says that narrow gate leads you to a difficult road. Literally, that word is says restricted that leads to life. There's restrictions. Remember what we said about the wide road. There's no restrictions. Everything goes. Everything's fine. Take whatever you want to take with you. It's all good. That's not what defines and describes the narrow road. In order to receive eternal life, one must live as God requires. D.A. Carson observes that that word difficult, some of your translations may use the same word narrow, says almost always refers to persecution. So this text says that the way of discipleship is narrow. It's restricting because it's the way of persecution and opposition, which is a major theme in the book of Matthew. Jesus talks about that. You've heard Mike talk about it. You know, to be a disciple of Christ is not just easy. He doesn't tell us it's going to be. It is going to be narrow. It is going to be difficult. It's simple to choose to follow him, but it's not easy to continue in that. John 16:33 and Acts 14:21 and 22 both talk about it's through much tribulation that we follow Christ. And if you've followed Jesus on the narrow road for any length of time, you know that to be true. It's not easy. You have to continue to make that decision on a daily basis to follow after Christ. Because cutting through those woods over to the wide road is a much easier way to go. Much easier. But it doesn't lead to life. Christ is absolutely upfront about the fact that the road remains narrow and difficult. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He makes it very simple. You know, and remember in the Sermon on the Mount, we're getting toward the end of that now. We've gone through chapter 5 and chapter 6, and we're into chapter 7. And Jesus is getting toward the end of this famous sermon, and he's beginning to talk very directly to those who are following him and under the sound of his voice. He invites them to that point in the fork of the road to choose. Follow me. But when we look at the life, we read the whole book of the Gospels, pick any one of them. And there are crowds often early in the book. And when we get down to the end of those Gospels, how many people are still there? Not as many. Very few. Even those closest to him were wrestling within themselves. What do we do? Which road are we going to take? Christ's teaching goes against our desire to be comfortable and happy. You know, in the Western culture, we desire that. We want to be comfortable. We want to be happy. We don't like the idea of persecution or tribulation. We don't like that. But we make choices to not have to deal with that. But Jesus says when we follow him, we're gonna deal with that. It's going to be a part of our lives. It doesn't mean we can't win as we're going down that road, that we can't have success in a spiritual sense. And we ultimately know, he's already told us, the ultimate destination is life. And life more abundantly. We also see at the end of 14, don't miss the last part of it. It says there's few who find it. I just want you to just think about that a little bit. Because as I was prepping for this message, that had never hit me before. There are few who find it. And to find something, you have to be looking for it. You have to be pursuing it. And so as you're, again, on that road with the colored picture, it's real easy not even to see that little gate over on the left. Unless what? Unless you're looking for it. When you're standing there at the fork of the road, everybody's going this way, and yet this one's different. This one's less traveled. I'm curious. What's in that single little gate? In Matthew 22:14, we're reminded that those few who are on the road to life are not on the road because they are better than others or because they are inherently wiser in their ability to choose God, but rather because of God's grace in choosing them. See, ultimately, God chooses us. We choose to believe who he is, and thus we come into relationship. But ultimately, it's through God's choice. So we see the two roads very differently. But Jesus' instruction is, take the narrow road. So, my question to you today, for all of us, where am I? Ask yourself, where am I? On the wide, well-traveled road? Did you hear yourself being described as being on that road? Or are you on the narrow, more difficult road this morning? You understand what we've been talking about, but yet you're focused. Because I know this leads to life. Or you may be like the picture of that lady at the beginning, that you're standing there at the fork. That's where you are today. You're at a position in life that you're going, which one do I take? This is what I've enjoyed. This is what I've been really comfortable with. But yet I sense Jesus drawing me to himself and to take this narrow road. I want to end with this little picture, or this picture of a little boy. Because once upon a time, that was me, a little boy, growing up in the church, constantly hearing about who Jesus was. But yet, as I got older and older, realizing, you know, the world had a lot to offer. I know what my mom and dad were telling me. I know what my Sunday school teachers were telling me about Jesus, but man, the world has a lot to offer. And so even as a little boy, I began considering which path, the narrow path, the wide path. See, and it had nothing to do with vocation. I've done a lot of different things vocationally in my life, but the choice became at the fork. Am I going to follow Jesus? Where it may be, I may be out there by myself a lot. There may be few other people that are like-minded. It may get difficult. It may get steep. It may get hard. Or do I take the easy, more comfortable way? You know, and even as a child, as we watched this morning, can begin processing that and thinking, who do I follow? Which road do I take? So you think about those questions this morning as we leave here in just a few minutes. Where are you today? You know, and the exciting thing about it, if you say, well, I'm on the narrow road pursuing Christ. And in my mind, this may not be true, but the way I have it pictured is that on the narrow road, I can come back to the fork and take others with me. Always. And continue pursuing. So, the truth is that two roads do diverge. In each of our lives, the road to destruction and the road to life. And the one less traveled by is the one that leads to life and life eternally. And it most assuredly makes all the difference. Let's pray. God, we thank you for, through the words of Jesus, giving us this simple illustration. You know, last week as we looked at verse 12, God, we learned about how to respond to people. And then immediately following in these next two verses, you point us, but you've got to choose. I've shown you who I am. I've showed you the picture of the two different paths and who you're going to follow. And in the context of this passage, Jesus, I believe that you're bringing your followers to this point because they're going to have to be all in or not in at all. But there are many who stand there at the fork, and I pray for those this morning. God, that they would choose Jesus. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.